You see something that said, take a look at what happened.
Total chaos.
Move to the spare. Hold, hold. When you're ready, on you.
Ready?
Move.
Up.
Go. Move.
Go. Up. Hawkeye's here.
Hawkeye's here. Move to the spare.
Spare, get ready. Spare, get ready.
You ready?
Shooters down. Shooters down.
Are we good?
Shooters down.
Shooters down. Are we good to move?
Shooters down. We're good to move.
Are we clear?
Let's move. Let's move.
We're clear.
Let me get my shoes.
Hold that in your head, buddy.
So we gotta move to the bus. Let me get my shoes.
Okay.
What are you doing with shoes? Watch
out.
Wait.
Wow. And just like that, Trump won the election. Just like that. Trump won the election. There's no messing with that. And that's the iconic photo. I don't think just of this election cycle. I think just generally that is going to go down in the history books. That's an iconic image in American history. The attempted assassination of former President Trump. And of course it happens, you know, when I'm out of the country on Friday. Oh my gosh. Welcome back to the program. We're at the top of this first hour on Monday. Your lovable hostess, Dana Loesch, back from vacation. I know I should never leave. And we're going to cover all of this. We have a packed show for you because we're going to get into everything that we know regarding the assassination attempt, all of the latest, the Secret Service, the Biden response, the press response, and then the other breaking news that happened just right, you know, a couple hours before the show started, the Trump Mar-a-Lago classified document case was dismissed. And we're going to dive into that. We're also going to talk today to Tim Kennedy. He's a sniper, Special Forces. We're going to talk to him. Also, Kurt Schlichter. My friend Kurt Schlichter is going to be joining us. Super packed show. And of course, you can stream it on every available platform if you're not listening terrestrially. And there's a great chat that happens in Rumble as well. So, oh, and make sure you check out Substack, the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff out there keeping you up to date for everything. So first and foremost, let's just start with the basics. I was at, flying through Nassau. I had a cancellation of a flight, got stuck in Nassau. And that's when my phone started blowing up. I had people texting me and there were news alerts. And I had great connection. Thanks, Patriot Mobile. I had great connection, but the Wi-Fi was a little, because there was so much video, that there was a lot of buffering and I couldn't see. So I called Kane. And I'm like, Trump was shot? And so we immediately start going. I was able to get in touch with Lorraine. And so we're like covering all of this stuff. Found a shady spot in Nassau to watch and monitor all of this stuff. And it was unbelievable. Let's talk for a moment about how in the hell something like this could happen. Because I think that that's the foremost question in everyone's mind. Now, I have a little bit of experience with executive detail. I've done a lot of training. I've never served. Obviously, I'm not a special agent, so I'm not going to claim experience that I don't have. I've done a lot of training, and I've had executive details before. And they're definite. We're going to talk about female and male and all that stuff. But the thing that gets me is, you know, just doing the basics. Have you seen, and I'm sure at this point you all have, and if you get the newsletter, you've seen the aerial layout of the grounds that Trump was speaking at. And I'm just trying to figure out how in the world something like this happens, how that rooftop was not secured. And I know it's never fun to play, you know, armchair quarterback, so to speak. But doesn't that kind of seem like the most maybe basic question, considering what it was 150 yards out? It's a white rooftop and the dude's in dark colored clothing. It's not like he's approaching in the weeds. He crawls up to the roof, shimmies up to the roof, and bear crawls across the top. How in the world is that not visible? I mean, it's almost ridiculous, right? A dude in dark clothing bear crawling across a pretty flat, it's not super peaked, white rooftop. And it was visible enough that bystanders could see him. Can we get some of this audio? Because this is the other question. This is audio soundbite two. Tons of people were pointing and yelling for several minutes before the first shots rang out. Hey, there's a guy on the roof. A guy on the roof. And I mean, it's literally like, it was like a little bit over two minutes before the first shots rang out. Watch this video. Listen to this.
He was doing his job. I wouldn't even be doing this. I'd be at some beautiful place.
Look, they're all pointing.
The guy notices the people pointing.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there. Right there. See him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
And Scott, I'm here with you, fighting like hell to get a sentence.
What's happening?
And to make sure we take back the land. Because if we do, we're going to make America better than ever before. We're going to make it.
Yeah, look. There he is.
Because we have millions and millions of people in our country that shouldn't be here. Dangerous people. Criminals. We have criminals.
He's on the roof. He's right here.
We have people that
right here. Right on the roof.
Unbelievable. So who was responsible for this roof line? I mean, it was like one of the closest rooftops to the stage. And I know that there's a lot of finger pointing right now. Like Secret Service is bringing up law enforcement. Law enforcement is bringing up Secret Service. There's a lot of back and forth. And I mean, we all have questions about this. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, it's one of the closest to the stage. And it's in the direct line of sight. How does this guy get up here? Let me tell you something. When we were in D.C. for the State of the Union address, we were in the Cannon building where the congressional offices are. And my husband and one of his friends were out on the rooftop. This was right after the inauguration because you got to, or sorry, the State of the Union. You have to stay in the chamber, all of this until the president leaves. Well, we just happened to be several blocks away from the motorcade. And my husband was on the rooftop. They had him in crosshairs and lit. No joke. He was lit and they were trained on him. That's Secret Service. And they were doing it as like, these two guys are on the roof. What's up with this? What gets me is that, yes, that was the president of the United States, but shouldn't, I mean, there is a little bit of, you know, this is the former president and the current president. So I have a lot of questions on the application and the quality and the strength and all of this of the Secret Service that's afforded to the former president. I don't know why that roof line, why that wasn't taken into account. Now, the second thing is the completely chaotic response. And we're going to have a very unpopular conversation about women in executive detail coming up. But the videos, the subsequent videos are crazy. The chaos is crazy. I mean, just to go over it, I mean, there was an agent that was fumbling with her holster. And I was looking at this like, okay, I get that she was fumbling a little bit more than you would think that someone who's really well-trained would do. And it was just, it stuck out to me. It stuck out to me and I'm like, why are you taking so many attempts? I mean, a quick glance down and you can reholster your sidearm. I don't, you know, and I say this as somebody who carries and I have a side holster. I appendix carry, I have a holster on the side. It was wild to me. And then there was an agent who put on her sunglasses. I don't know. It was weird. But in the video there, you can hear them ask each other, where do we go? Where do we go? And I'm thinking, you don't have like a plan B and plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. This is wild to me that you don't have this. I mean, everything is choreographed. Your group trains and they rehearse every possible sideways that could happen. They rehearse it. It seemed as though they didn't have a clear path for the vehicle to exit. There was a lot of, I mean, it just took a really long time for them to get him off the stage. I know he wanted to get his shoes, really want to know what those shoes were. They wanted to get him off the stage. They wanted to get him in the car. He was still exposed on the stage. His vital organs were still exposed from the front. They had no idea if there was a second shooter at that particular time. They just knew that the one guy that was within sight line that was on the closest rooftop, they knew that that guy had been neutralized almost. I mean, how many shots did he get out? Like seven? I think he got off like seven shots, something like that. It was really wild to me. There was a cop. Here's the other thing. There was a police officer that apparently minutes before the shooting began confronted this guy on, like, climbed up on the roof and saw this guy. The officer went to confront him but backed away because the killer pointed his gun at him. What in the world is happening here? I mean, at that point, if you're climbing up on the roof and the guy points his gun at you, and I mean, if you're armed, wouldn't you just kind of duck down and then point your gun up over the top of the roof? I mean, I've got a million questions. Kane, you're about to die.
Yeah, I know.
It's funny because it reminds me, I just got a text from Andrew Branca, who was exactly addressing that very point that you're making. And so, unfortunately, we'll talk to him tomorrow, but that's what made me react that way.
Yeah, I have a million questions about that. A million questions about it. So it looked chaotic. I don't know how. Again, he's in dark clothing on a white rooftop. He sticks out like a turd in a punch bowl, okay? How do you not immediately see this dude? And I'm not trying to be rude and play armchair quarterback, but y'all, if bystanders are pointing this out, bystanders. They were standing right next to law enforcement who were working in tandem with Secret Service. What in the world? What in the world? Now, we're going to talk more about that. I'm going to lay out all of the stuff that we're going to be diving into in the show, because there's a lot of argument about culpability. And I got to tell you, I said this earlier today, I think that the left's calls for unity are absolute horse excrement, because these people don't want unity. They never wanted unity. They will never accept unity. It's not who they are. It's not what they want. That's not their agenda. Unity is the calls for unity. That is the left's disingenuous attempt at an apology when one of their own is caught shooting at someone on the right again. That's what a call for unity is when it originates from the left. Because I'm going to tell you something. These bullets have only ever been flying one way, guys. You haven't seen people on the right firing shots off and burning down towns and doing all this other stuff. You haven't seen that. And I am not going to be lectured to about unity from people who have put Trump on the cover of magazines, calling him Hitler, calling him a fascist, saying that he's a threat. An existential threat, saying that people on the right are fascists? These people patented incendiary rhetoric. It is their hallmark. It is their love language. And I am not taking lectures on unity from these people. Now, to that point, and I know we've got to get moving, you have any kind of rando on social media who puts out a meme, who puts out something, what does the press do? They jump all over the right. Every politician has to denounce it because you're right. You're thick as thieves, right? That's kith and kin, isn't it? You have to denounce this completely random person that made a meme. You have to denounce this person that you don't even know who said whatever. When has the left ever had to take accountability? Not when one of their Bernie bros tried to assassinate a number of congressional members on a ball field. They're not accepting culpability now. When one of their own opens fire on a Republican nominee for president and a former president. So hell no, we're not playing this game. If the entire Democrat Party don't repudiate this guy and don't condemn the language of like Jack Black and all these other rat bastard politicians, pundits, and morbidly obese, fat ass Hollywood Z-listers, then you all own it. Buckle up. We got a packed show. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
We've had a huge spate of celebrity deaths. Shannon Doherty has passed away. She was struggling with cancer. She had cancer. Dr. Ruth, Richard Simmons. Shannon Doherty was, I mean, an absolute gem. Everybody knew her from Beverly Hills 90210, and then she was on Charmed. She was like the least witchy, with a B, cast member on Charmed. Super, super awesome actress, and I just liked her because she was real, and I guess people thought that she was brash for that, but she's passed away. It's heartbreaking. You had Richard Simmons, Exercise King, and the Dr. Ruth lady, but Jim Inhofe also, as well, has passed away. Senator Jim Inhofe. Politico had that story. He was 89. He had a really long Senate career, and he was from Oklahoma. So we've got to reevaluate the rule of threes from my grandmother. Also, very real angry birds are fighting with drones looking for sharks near New York City beaches. So they have a fleet of drones patrolling New York City's beaches for signs of sharks and struggling swimmers. But local shorebirds are fighting with the drones because the birds are jerks. They'll fly at it. They'll swoop at it. Because they think they're defending their nest from a predator. So, like, you know, that's why they're doing it. They're not really jerks. That's like a survival thing. Speaking of birds, they're really pushing the bird flu thing. So 5 human cases of bird flu in Colorado poultry workers, according to a health official's report reported by CBS News. They said 5 workers from a farm in northeast Colorado have bird flu. 4 of them confirmed by the U.S. Centers for Disease. Shut it all down. Burn the world. Burn it down. And the Sob Parlor in New York City. No, it's not a sad emo club. It's a place for people to go and cry in peace. It's actually a business. Why didn't I think of that? They literally, a session is $20. You go there and you cry like a freak. You go there and you cry and it's $20. Kane and I will charge you $18. Yes. So bring your business to us because we're capitalists. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. The DEIification of Secret Service. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch and listen to the rally, right? We couldn't see them, but we could hear them. So we walked up, and probably 5 to 7 minutes of Trump speaking, I'm estimating here, I have no idea, you know, but we noticed a guy crawling, bear crawling up the roof of the building beside us, 50 feet away from us. So we're standing there, you know, we're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof.
And he had a gun, right?
He had a rifle.
A rifle.
We could clearly see him with a rifle. Absolutely. We're pointing at him. The police are down there running around on the ground. We're like, hey, man, there's guy on the roof with a rifle. And the police were like, huh, what? You know, like they didn't know what was going on. You know, we're like, hey, right here on the roof. We can see him from right here. We see him. You know, he's crawling. And next thing you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, why is Trump still speaking? Why have they not pulled him off the stage? I'm standing there pointing at him for, you know, 2-3 minutes. Secret Service is looking at us from the top of the barn. I'm pointing at that roof, just standing there like this. And next thing you know, 5 shots ring out.
Wow. That is a BBC interview with one of the guys that was right outside of the security perimeter. And they saw, as you could hear with what he was saying, they saw this guy accessing the rooftop. They saw him. And it wasn't just him. I think it was reported, what, Kane, like 50-some-odd bystanders saw this guy. And they were for minutes trying to alert law enforcement about it. There's a great side-by-side. And first off, welcome back. We're at the bottom of this first hour. Dana Lash back from vacation with you. There was a great side-by-side video. It's a little long. I don't know if we want to play all of it. But it puts it in really sharp perspective. And it's matched up perfectly. It was an account on X that did this. And they matched up perfectly the video from the bystanders that they took, where they were like, from the moment they saw the guy. And you can see on one side, it's the bystanders video. And it's they're saying, this is the moment they saw the guy on the roof. And then they were like, wait, that's not right. We need to tell law enforcement. From Trump speaking on the other side. And it's, I want you, because this really puts it into realistic, sharp perspective, the amount of time that passed. I really want you to understand this. It's a little long. Please bear with me, though, because it will shock you. Watch this.
If he was doing his job, I wouldn't even be doing this.
The left is the bystanders video. The right is Trump.
The Atlantic, maybe the Pacific.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. Gary is right there.
It's in sync with each other. Both
right there. See him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
And so I'm here with you fighting like hell to get a Senate.
What's happening?
And to make sure we take back the White House, because if we do, we're going to make America better than ever before. We're going to make it.
Yeah, look.
And it's
there he
not
is.
Easy. Because we have millions and millions of people in our country that
trying to get police. You see the guy's clear as
dangerous people. Criminals. We have criminals, we have people that should not be here, and it's much tougher than if...
I mean, they're surrounded by police.
We have the strongest
border ever. In recorded history, we're the best border. In fact, if they could ever put up a chart, I don't know if they can do it. You guys have access to that chart that I love so much. You don't mind if I go off teleprompter, do you?
So they're telling police.
Because these teleprompters are so damn boring, I try and explain that.
From the moment they first saw... Wow. And they're telling you while this clock is running, please, there's a guy on the roof. There's a guy on the roof.
My guys, take a look at that chart.
50-some, here's the side-by-side again. Here we go. 50 some odd bystanders. Right now, what they're doing is they're trying to tell police there's a guy on the roof with a gun. They could see the rifle. They're telling police. They're telling, trying to get Secret Service, there's a guy on the roof with a gun.
Take a look at that. So that
arrow. And it was 2 full minutes. We're letting this clock run because I want people to understand how long it was from the moment they spotted him until the first shots rang out. And they're trying desperately, trying to get police's attention the entire time. You can see people in the other video. They're running over. They know something's happening. And then there it is. At that point, you could hear in the other video, people were screaming, there's a guy on the roof, there's a guy on the roof. And all hell breaks out. Don't tell me that, no, that you can't armchair quarterback this. Do not tell me. First off, can I just tell you something about the area that he was speaking in Pennsylvania? These are people that know guns. These are people that hunt. A lot of these, I mean, this is veteran country where he was at. That's one of the reasons why, and I made this remark to a friend of mine, a combat veteran. I said, I don't know, I kind of have a feeling that one of the reasons that, you know, a lot of the people that heard the gunshots, they didn't react at first because they're used to hunting, they're used to being around. And my friend kind of laughed, was like, you know, that area, you're not wrong. I mean, he's in veteran country. He's, you know, this is not like, you know, Beverly Hills. And so, and, you know, people kind of kept their cool. They didn't rush out of that. They just were looking around, looking where the threat was. It is amazing to me that it took that long. So don't tell me you can't armchair quarterback it. So what the hell happened? The American people are owed answers. We are owed answers on this. Because we go through an election, we go through this cycle, and we have a very protected process in the United States. We are so unbelievably unique. The bloodless transfer of power. And I'm telling you, there are questions. The bystanders saw, maybe the bystanders should have called the ATF and said, oh, hey, there's a dog on the roof. Maybe they should have done that. If they wanted that threat neutralized, maybe that's what they should have done. And what gets me is when the FBI said, oh, we think he acted alone. Really? And you're telling me that everybody here, they couldn't see this dude? But they can hunt down every single person who skipped past the Capitol on January 6th, run them down, get all of them. Really? But they're going to shrug before much is known about the guy. Oh, we think he acted by himself. There was this story of, I told you about the local cop who confronted this guy. New York Post has the story moments before shots rang out, as all these bystanders spotted him on the roof of this, 130 yards from the stage. Police were notified. One officer, according to the New York Post, climbed the ladder to investigate. This is according to numerous law enforcement officials who told the Associated Press this on the condition of anonymity. So they're telling on their guy. The officer, whose department had been enlisted by the Secret Service to help with security, encountered the murderer who pointed his rifle at him. The officer then backed down the ladder. That's when Crooks immediately took aim and fired shots. I don't know why the officer wouldn't immediately point his gun and even at the very least, like duck under the roof line and then point your gun over the roof line. I don't know why he wouldn't do that. I mean, I got questions about that. So now the House has initiated an investigation into this. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer said that they're calling the Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle. They're going to have a hearing on July 22nd. Is anything going to come of it? I don't know. But this is a catastrophic. There's a lot of genuine questions over the DEIification of the Secret Service. And don't get mad at the people bringing it up, because we didn't bring it up. The damn head of Secret Service brought it up. Kimberly Cheadle brought it up. This is what blows my mind. And no pun intended here. But when you have these department heads that get in and they're like, oh, we're going to increase women representation. We're going to do all of this. You know, we're going to increase the number of women. We're going to make that a big thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, why are you, what? Why is that a big promotion for you? Cheadle was filmed in an interview bragging about the diversity in Secret Service. And she was, had been a real big promoter of that, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, are you capable? That's all I care about. So don't tell people that they can't talk about the DEIification of this or ask questions about this, because the people didn't bring it up. Kim Cheadle brought this up. And now Kim Cheadle has an attempted assassination of a former president on her watch. Audio soundbite 24, flashback. She was talking about DEI compliancy with Secret Service. Listen.
To expand hiring, they're aiming to have 30% women recruits by 2030 and even allowed YouTube influencer Michelle Carre to train with agents.
But I'm very conscious as I sit in this chair now of making sure that we need to attract diverse candidates and ensure that we are developing and giving opportunities to everybody in our workforce, and particularly women.
That workforce will be pivotal for the 2024 campaign season, which for the first time includes a former president who already has lifetime protection. Agents were there when Donald Trump was arraigned in New York.
She's served in Secret Service for 28 years. She was involved in the evacuation of Cheney on September 11th. Etc. She was director of last year. Remember, the agency deleted a lot of its text messages from January 6th. They said recruitment and retention are challenges. The Secret Service's departure rate was 48% last year because it is a high demand job. I get that. That's not an excuse. Don't throw this out to me as excuses, because we don't tickle the fancy of mediocrity here in this country, especially when it comes to protection of the highest office in the land. Here's the reason why I bring this up, because there are a lot of people, and I've seen some of it now on social media. There were a lot of people saying, oh, well, women shouldn't be in executive detail. I've had executive detail before. I've had to after Parkland and when I was working with a gun rights organization. There were literally people who were trying to get in my house, like physically trying to get in my home. I would go to different events and there would be people who would try to rush wherever we were. So I had for a period of time, and Canes met them. A detail. I've had men and women. A lot of times, if it's in a huge crowded area, obviously you have several tiers of it. I had a lot of women details, because women having women agents, it's less obvious, because you then don't know immediately who the security targets are, because those people want, they're targets. If there's your security, they're targets. But also these women were more muscular than I was and a little taller than I was, and they could manhandle me if they needed to get me out of the way. I bring this up because I need people to stop making this about a gender or a sex thing. And it's about physicality and it's about statistics. When I've done all level of, I've done so much training. Obviously, I'm not in armed forces and I'm not a special agent. I've done a lot of training, though. I've been to Oklahoma. I've been all over the country doing training in morning, noon and night, all types of weather, hours of training. And one of the interesting things that I learned, because I've done a number of different drills where you go through, like you're clearing houses or you're clearing what is like a makeshift school, and you go through and the instructors are screaming orders at you. And one of the things that I found out was I was outperforming the men in every single one of these drills. And it's not just me. I wasn't the exclusion. Every other lady did too. Now, why is that? The women, the instructors told us, usually always outperform the men in these drills, because the women take instruction better than men. But there's a flip side to this. In the real time, real space environment, when you're out there in reality and you're not in a makeshift training house and you're not with instructors that are walking on these beams and screaming orders at you, when you are in real space, it's flipped. Because there is a shift that takes place, these instructors have told me, where men zero in on the objective in this real-time environment, and women are always, it is our nature. We immediately want to make sure you okay, and we kind of look at the bigger picture, whereas men will zero in. It's just a man versus woman thing, and it's not a strength or a weakness of either side. It is a different objective and a different capability, and if people didn't have their heads so far up their backsides, they would see that these two things complement each other instead of using one as, you know, as a way to denigrate the other. That being said, when it comes to Secret Service protection, I'm not in favor of women protecting men, like the President of the United States, unless it's a specific requirement. Now, there are exclusions. There are women who are absolute exclusions to that rule and perform just as good, sometimes better than the men. But that's an exception. That's why they are exceptional. The reason I say this is because I was watching when Trump was on stage, and this woman was trying to, the first agent in the front, and she was, you know, I thought she actually was doing, performing very well. But he's like, have you ever met Trump? I have. I've known him for a decade. He's tall. He's a huge guy. He's over 6'3", and he's very broad. And if he doesn't want to move, he's not going to move. I don't know if you remember, and I'm going to talk about this later. I want to compare the Secret Service response from the attempted Reagan assassination to now, because they manhandled Reagan. They literally picked that man up and threw him in the back of a car. They were trying to move Trump, and he did not want to move. He wanted to get his shoes. And the woman in front, you could tell, was kind of struggling to cover all his vital organs in the front. That was one of the first things I noticed, because that training thing where they cocoon you was one of the things that they drilled us on, and we participated, and it was very interesting. And when you're not as big as your principal, which is what they call the person you're protecting, when you are not as big and you are not capable of overpowering them and getting them and they're not responding, that's a problem. That's a security problem. And one last quick thing. It reminds me of Zack Snyder's 300, when Leonidas was talking to the deformed guy from Sparta who wanted to join the 300. And he followed Leonidas and the Spartan army to face off against the king of Persia, against Xerxes. And Leonidas said, can you raise your shield? Can you show me what you can do? And the guy couldn't raise his shield. And Leonidas is being very kind. And he said, I'm not doing this, you know, maliciously, but I need everybody to be able to perform at top notch. Because if you can't, then you're making a target out of the guy behind you. And if he drops, he's making a target out of the guy behind him. And we have to have every link physically strong. He wasn't saying that to be mean. And I'm telling you what, it's either about the objective or it's about you. And if it's about you, then you are idolizing yourself higher than the objective and you are unsuitable for the job. If you can't focus on the objective over self, you're unsuitable for the job. It is about protecting. It is about making sure that there are no gaps in security. This is not social experimentation. Now, like I said, there are some exceptions to that rule, which is why they're exceptional. But I have serious questions about some of this stuff. I know that they're hemorrhaging staff, but we need to get to the bottom of this. It's a real problem. We have more on the way. Do you guys remember back in 2020 when store shelves were empty and nobody could find ammunition? That was such a bummer. Actually, it sucked out loud. Nobody liked that. It was hard to find stuff. Like, we were calling up all these different retailers like, do you guys have any coming in? Do you guys have this coming in? Well, what if you didn't have to worry about that? So this is where Ammo Squared comes in. They can help you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Like, you never have to worry about it. So it's truly automated. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. I've never been more happy about anything automatic before in my life, you know, other than, you know, automatic rifles. Pick your calibers, you set your budget, you select a shipping trigger, and that's it. And then your ammo builds up over time and it's delivered automatically when you want it. And then as the ammo builds up in your account, it's stored for free in their super swanky climate controlled warehouse. It's secure, it's insured, it's safe from threats until you want it. Especially in these tough times with rising crime, this is a very budget-friendly way to ensure that you always have ammunition when you need it. It's customizable to your budget. Build your stockpile. It's like contributing to a savings account or a 401k. And it was started in Idaho in 2015. They have over 30,000 customers across the country. It's Ammo Squared, a unique way to get your ammunition. Buy low, dollar cost average over time, then cash out when prices rise, or take delivery and skip the high prices in the market. It's awesome. There's no minimum to buy, no memberships, no extra fees. You can buy ammo on a small budget. Watch it grow. Visit them at ammosquared.com/Dana to get started and get free ammo when you sign up. That's ammosquared.com/Dana to sign up and get your free ammo.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Happy birthday to you. Make a wish, Canada. Don't miss Trump next time.
That's Jack Black and Tenacious D on stage. Yeah. Yeah, Kyle Gass was the guy who said, but it's part of Tenacious D. These people want you dead. I don't believe this call for unity. We're going to talk about that coming up. Stick with us, whole other hour on the way. Our friends at Patriot Mobile, look, I was literally on the boat in the middle of the ocean, and I had great coverage. I mean, that's why I was able to check in on Twitter. If you saw me like at any point in the afternoon last week, it was because Patriot Mobile had service. I don't even know how they had service out there, but they did. I always have great coverage with them every single time. I've never had any bad experiences with Patriot Mobile. They've been my cell phone service for, I actually don't even know how long. How long has it been? Oh, over 10 years. Yeah, over 10 years at this point. So I don't know why you wouldn't make the switch, because you're going to pay less than what you pay now. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't. I have the Cadillac plan, and I had to get a big Cadillac plan with my previous mobile coverage, and I always paid an arm and a leg with Patriot Mobile, and I don't get like a special Dana discount or anything. It's just what it is. It's so much. I don't need it. It's just affordable. Everybody gets a discount because it's affordable. But the other thing is too, they're not spending your money against you. They're not spending your money on DEI stuff, gun control, any of that. They actually help provide a lot of momentum behind the things that you vote to protect at the ballot box. And when you switch, you know, you're protecting those things that you value because they help you with that. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. You get free activation using code Dana, and you have a 100% US-based customer service team. They make it so easy to switch. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
I plan on talking to them shortly, I hope, when I get back to the telephone. Look, there's no place in America for this kind of violence. It's sick. It's sick. It's one of the reasons why we have to unite this country. We cannot allow for this to be happening. We cannot be like this. We cannot condone this. And so, and I want to thank the Secret Service and all the agencies, including the state agencies, that have been engaged in making sure that the people who, and we have more detail to come relative to other people maybe injured in the audience. I don't have all that detail. We'll make that available to you. I may be able to come back a little later tonight, but we'll put out a statement if it's not convenient for you all. But the bottom line is that the Trump rally was a rally that he should have been able to be conducted peacefully without any problem. But the idea that there's political violence or violence in America like this is just unheard of. It's just not appropriate. And everybody must condemn it. Everybody. I'll keep you informed, and if I'm able to speak to Donald, I'll let you know that as well. So far, it appears he's doing well.
What about, I mean, are you going to call it an attempted assassination attempt? I'm curious. Audio soundbite 13. Are you going to call it an attempted assassination attempt? Or, well, obviously, because that's what it is. They attempted to kill him. There's an assassination. Listen, though, he was asked that.
Do you think it was an assassination attempt?
I don't know enough to. I have an opinion, but I don't have any facts. So I want to make sure we have all the facts before I make some comment.
Oh my gosh! But J6 was a damn coup. Yeah. A bunch of unarmed people at the Capitol. That was a coup. But that we can't call this an assassination attempt. Oh no!
Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist, according to this guy. Like immediately.
I mean, he killed white pedophiles, but you know, he was whatever. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here at the top of the second hour with you, back from vacation. You can listen all over the country terrestrially, and you can also stream the radio program, watch the simulcast, channel 347 DirecTV. The chat's always at Rumble. You can find it at find us at X, everywhere else. So I'm curious as to no follow-up on that. You're not going to call it an assassination, because that's what it was an attempted assassination. And what gets me is the left always loves to water down culpability and taking any responsibility, doing anything on their part. They love watering it down. I remember back in 2008 when Sarah Palin copied the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee's map. So let's backtrack for a moment. That back in 2008, I wrote about this extensively at the time. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, that is the group that is all about getting Democrats elected in the House and the congressional block. They had this map where they had targeted areas, meaning they had weak areas, different congressional districts where their Democrat candidates were being either incumbent or a new candidate were being credibly challenged by Republican candidates. And they had like us. They were actually surveyors marks. They weren't even crosshairs. People don't even understand this. It's so nonsense. They had like surveyors marks over these districts. Right. So Sarah Palin just took the map. Her team just took the map and they repurposed it and said, these are the areas we got to target, right, in order to win the House. And she was helping congressional members raise money. They went at her. You guys remember this. They went at her and said, she's going to get people killed. She's going to get people killed. She's got crosshairs on everybody. It wasn't crosshairs. And then afterwards, Gabby Giffords ends up being shot and they were blaming her and the map and all this other stuff. I remember I had called the New York Times trash and I held it near an open flame. And they said that I was a domestic terrorist. If you wore a red hat, you were a domestic terrorist. These people, and they have no problem with calling everybody Hitler, calling everybody fascist, calling everybody everything else. They had no problem saying, oh my gosh, Republicans are literally going to kill everybody with their healthcare plan. They're going to kill people. In fact, Biden himself had said the day before Trump was shot, quote, Trump is a threat to this nation. And then he said, actually, it said, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Trump is a threat to this nation. On July 8th, he said, so we're done talking about the debate. It's time to put Trump in a bullseye. Direct quote. He said that on July 8th. I don't know. Maybe if you tell people that Trump is like literally Hitler and an existential threat, your fans, like the guy who tried to shoot up a bunch of people on the congressional ball field, you know, maybe, just maybe, they will take you seriously. Audio soundbite 10. I mean, flashback. This is just what? July 8th.
Mm-hmm. Most importantly, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, Trump is a threat to this nation.
A threat to this nation.
Why would somebody shoot him?
Yeah. And then, Kane, pull up that lady on MSNBC. Who is this again? This is What's-Her-Face Chick? I don't know who this is. This is a pundit featured on MSNBC. Stacey Plaskett, she's a Democrat delegate to the U.S. House. Pull this up. Go ahead. Let's just run this one real quick. This is
having Trump not only have had the codes, but now having the classified information for Americans and being able to put that out and share it in his resort with anyone and everyone who comes through should be terrifying to all Americans. Mm-hmm. And he needs to be stopped.
Mm. These are just some of Joe Biden's tweets here that Kane reminds me of. Some of Joe Biden's tweets that he's had, quote, Donald Trump is the greatest threat to our democracy. Quote, Donald Trump is a genuine threat to this nation. Quote, he's a threat to our freedom. Quote, he's a threat to our democracy. Quote, he's literally a threat to everything America stands for. He did that on June 28th. He tweeted that. He said, quote, he's a threat to our freedom. He's a threat to our democracy. He's literally a threat to everything America stands for. End quote. Joe Biden, 1:42 p.m., June 28th, 2024. He said also, a year ago, Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy. We cannot let him win. He said, quote, Trump poses many threats to this country. He is the greatest threat he poses is to our democracy. If we lose that, we lose everything. These people, this is the stuff they've been saying this entire time. The entire time. And then he gets up there, Biden in his address last night, and he tries to both sides it. The bullets are only flying one way, Slick. There's no both sides to any of this. There's no both sides. I mean, good night. Look at this. Then you got, I mean, there's so much of this. We played the Tenacious D stuff for you. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Do this. Oh, gosh, I don't know if I want to play. I don't like this guy. Let's do, you know what? Let's go to the media.
He is the media.
Well, no, but I don't like him. No, I want to get into, all of this. I mean, I could sit here and read all these tweets. The magazine covers, if you get the newsletter, the New York Times ran this the day after he was shot. Quote, he failed the test of leadership, betrayed America, voters must reject him in November. Talking about Trump. They had New York Magazine, how Hitler's rise to power explains why Republicans accept Donald Trump. Yeah. Hollywood Reporter called him the new Fuhrer. This was just literally like months ago. The Washington Post. Yes, it's okay to compare Trump to Hitler. Don't forget, he was on the cover of the New Republic with a Hitler stash under the headline American Fascism. Now, afterwards, the media was scrambling. They were scrambling to figure out, oh, my gosh, how are we going to they were looking at it like this is devastating to us. Forbes came out with the headline, quote, will surviving gunfire be Donald Trump's next appeal to black voters?
Oh, my gosh. Seriously?
Yeah. They deleted the article, but not before I got a screenshot. It's well, because you didn't read the newsletter, Kane.
Damn.
It's in Substack, chapter and verse. That's literally written by Sean Harper, who is their DEI guy. That's literally the headline. Will surviving gunfire be Donald Trump's next appeal to black voters? If you get the Substack, you got the graphic right there. They deleted it. They deleted the story, not because they thought it was wrong or because they wanted to apologize. They just wanted to save face. That's it. That's all they wanted to do. And then you had all the different ways. Listen to this. Audio Soundbite 17. CBS was already upset because after Trump gets shot, they felt that it was his responsibility to tell the people who shot him to lower their temperature. Listen.
And he closes with God bless America. And we saw him raise his hand in the air defiantly, blood on his face as he left the stage.
He is recovering from these injuries now. This was a traumatic event, no doubt, for him. But I did notice there was no call for lowering the temperature, condemning all political violence, and really trying to signal to his supporters as well not to retaliate or to have any kind of escalation here. I just am looking at these
statements.
Well,
there's a belief in his inner circle that he's under siege.
I understand.
Oh, my gosh. He's literally getting shot at. There, it's not a belief that he's under siege. Dude, he's dodging bullets. Literal, actual bullets. All the left loves to say literally. He's literally dodging bullets, you absolute asshat. He's absolutely dodging bullets. Golly. I mean, this is what they're doing. This is the stuff that, remember CNN, the guy that rushed the stage in Ohio back when Trump was in Ohio? CNN gave him a whole profile. I mean, they say, well, the bullets only go in one direction. And they're like, oh, it's Trump's responsibility to tell the people who shot at him to lower the temperature. What? Oh, my gosh. This is insane. But there's more. But wait, there's more. You also have ABC. They're trying to both sides it. Listen to this. Audio Soundbite 16.
President Trump and his supporters have contributed to this violent rhetoric as well.
Well, absolutely, George. We were just looking back this morning at some of the things that former President Trump has said. He warned last March of potential death and destruction if he were charged by the Manhattan District Attorney. Our country is being destroyed as they tell us to be peaceful. Trump in January warned of bedlam in the country if the criminal charges against him succeeded. And
but
of course, in March.
Who was shooting who? I like my friend Dave Burge's tweet. He goes, who better to persuade the American people to tone down heated political rhetoric than the man who stopped Mitt Romney from reinstituting slavery? Right? Oh, my gosh. But wait, there's more. Audio soundbite 18. CNN was very upset because Trump said fight, fight, fight after he was literally shot. Listen.
I do want to say there was one thing that when I watched the tape, I found odd because of all of the heated rhetoric. And that is that after he was hit, former President Trump got up and said, fight, fight, fight. I think what we're hearing from people is that's not the message that we want to be sending right now. We want
No, girlfriend. You don't get to be the gatekeeper for messaging after you and your network Godwin's lawed everybody on the right for years. Oh my gosh, if you disagree with us on healthcare, you're literally Hitler. If you disagree with us on immigration, you're literally Hitler. If you disagree with us on taxes, you're literally Hitler. They have literally Hitlered themselves into a hole in the wall. I'm done with it. This is just, you don't get to be the gatekeeper for this. Oh, well, he shouldn't have said fight, fight, fight. Maybe you guys shouldn't have shot him. There's a thought. Maybe you shouldn't have shot at him. We're going to get into some of the gun control talk, too, because I keep hearing people say, well, maybe if, you know, we didn't have an access to all these guns, it would have been different. Maybe, I don't know, if security would have seen a guy in dark colored clothing shimmying up the side of a building and then bear crawling across a white rooftop, we wouldn't be in this position. You know, maybe just a thought. We're going to get into all of that. Also, the Replace Biden campaign, it's over, guys. I hope you realize this. I see people still speculating to the contrary, but it's over. He's going to leverage this to really box out everybody else. We got battle boxes coming up too. He's going to box out everybody else with this, and we're going to explain how. Also, the RNC, the convention speech from Trump is expected to now take a new direction, and the VP for the Trump ticket is going to be announced today. Who will it be? All the contenders are in Milwaukee. Which, interesting, my friend Kerry Pickett pointed out, remember Teddy Roosevelt? Do you know where he was? The attempted assassination on Teddy Roosevelt, where was that at? All those years ago. You remember? Milwaukee. Interesting history. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Nobody say anything to Hunter Biden, but Colombia has a big problem. They've got too much cocaine. Yeah, it's they got too much cocaine. People in some of these villages in Colombia, they've been, you know, making it. I didn't know that they made they actually picked the coca leaf, and then the coca leaf, they would scrape the branches and mix it with gas and other chemicals to make the paste. And is that what is in cocaine? I actually don't. I thought it was just like, I don't know what I thought, but yeah. So they said that their people started making all kinds of cocaine. And, to, you know, because they need the money. Now they got too much cocaine in Colombia. It's an actual thing. A chicken sandwich causes a car to flip in Vancouver. That's a real story. KIRO, Channel 7. They said a guy in Vancouver, Washington, he reached for a sandwich and crashed into a light pole, rolled his car over. So it wasn't a chicken sandwich. It was a guy reaching for his chicken sandwich. Pray tell, what was the chicken sandwich? That's the most important part of the story that they don't tell you because it's horrible journalism and they should be fired for not doing that. A guy, 75-year-old, was literally rescued from a bog after he went missing for 4 days. Like, bogs are real. I thought it was like an old-timey. You mean really it's a swamp, isn't it? It was in Maine. They found this guy. He's in good condition. He fell off a ledge while hiking, went missing for 4 days, and they found him. So thankfully, he's okay. A guy on a golf course, he was attacked, and it killed him. He was attacked by a swarm of bees. Yeah, in Arizona. A 57-year-old man, he was at El Conquistador Golf and Tennis, just north in Tucson. He was managing the property grounds, and a swarm attacked him. He succumbed to his injuries 3 days later. That's crazy. Coming up, Tim Kennedy joins us on the response and the what happened, breaking down what happened on that that Saturday. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
You also received a letter from the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee that suggests your department may have, quote, rebuffed multiple requests from President Trump's security detail to increase protective resources. How do you respond to that?
That is an unequivocally false assertion. We keep very close watch on a very dynamic threat environment. The president, the former president, are consistently under threat. We take every single threat seriously.
I don't believe you. That's Alejandro Mayorkas. I don't believe him. He's DHS. I don't believe him at all. And there are a number of lawmakers that have come out repudiating that statement and refuting it, saying, and Mike Waltz is one of them. There are a number of them. They've said, absolutely, we can unequivocally confirm that, yes, requests have been made. But apparently the director of United States Secret Service was denying a larger Secret Service footprint. And I mean, regardless of what you think about RFK Jr., I mean, I think it's really weird that he doesn't have protection either. That strikes me as being very weird because he's a very credible third party candidate. And, you know, by all measures, he's met that. I mean, he's passed that litmus test. So there are a lot of questions about this. And this is why House Oversight has initiated an investigation into this. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. The first thing that I thought of when I was watching all of the video of the fairground or the area where Trump was speaking, for the lack of a better way to put it, was it was 130 yards out the rooftop that apparently had, I guess, no one cleared. I don't know how you cannot see a guy shimmying up the side of a building and then he's in darker clothing on a white rooftop that isn't really that pitched and he's bear crawling across. You had over 50 bystanders that could see it. Why could nobody else who was involved in security? And I want to be clear that until all the answers are in, I'm not, you know, armchair quarterbacking. I want to know what happened. And I want to go to the people that have the expertise in this so that they can give us some insight. And one of the first people that I thought of was our really good friend, Tim Kennedy. You know him as a UFC champ. He's a Ranger, sniper, special forces operator, unapologetically American. He's been tweeting about this and he was asking a lot of the same questions that we were asking. So he tweeted on the 13th. He was glad the former president is okay. But he asked, you know, the fact that this guy was able to get up there within 200 meters with a rifle and in an elevated position, he says, quote, is beyond negligent, if not intentional. And Tim joins us via Skype right now with an epic background. Tim, so good to see you, my friend. I wish it was on a better subject, but I'm so glad that you're sharing your expertise with us. And that's the question that I have. I've trained and I've had executive protection. Obviously, I'm not a Secret Service agent and I'm not in the military. But the fact that you had over 50 bystanders that were able to see this guy on the rooftop and that 2 minutes went by that they were trying to get security's attention and nothing was done. How does that happen?
Yeah, on the responding to, you know, communication is really, really difficult when you're working in a multi-agency, multi-district. You know, you have state people there, you have county people there, you have city people there. And according to Secret Service, it sounds like they're leaning very heavily on local law enforcement to fill the gap. They were understaffed, undermanpowered. Obviously, they're inadequate, inept, and not capable to do the job. Mayorkas needs to step down, as does the Secret Service director. Both those appointees need to be fired immediately. In addition to that, there has to be an immediate look at the competence and capability within the Secret Service. When I said that, those questions I was asking, those were rhetorical questions. It's egregious. It's impossible, Dana. I cannot tell you. There is not a detail on the planet that would look at that building and be like, yeah, it doesn't need to be secured. You know, there's not. My 9-year-old would do a better job. And first of all, my 9-year-old will absolutely make 150-yard shots off of a negative pitch slope roof, even if you're shooting open sights with that rifle. Like, every single kid in Texas can do this, as you know. So like, if a 9-year-old can do it, but a 20-year-old is able to clamber up onto a roof with a ladder that is in line of sight to the president, everybody's fired. Absolutely everybody, from the principal team to the site survey team to the red cell team to all the way up the chain of command, they're all fired. It's clear, it's evident, and no matter what anybody says from the organization, because they're just trying to protect their jobs now, they all got to go. They're on the scale of negligent, inept, stupid, incompetent to complicit. Man, I'm not sure where they fall. You know, like, they might be so dumb and so, and I'm not attacking the people on the ground, because I do believe that they have the heart of patriots. You know, like, you look at the women that were around the president, they wanted to do the right thing. They just didn't know what that was. Yeah. When they're asking questions, what are we going to do? How do we get off the X? You see one of them cowering behind the president. Her job is to throw her freaking body on top of the man that she's sworn to protect. There's another one that's cowering behind the stage. You see two men looking out into the crowd, weapons at the high ready, doing the thing that they're supposed to do that they swore that they would do. And then you see another one, a Secret Service agent, that's cowering by the stage. She's fired. The other one hiding behind the president, former president, she's fired. It's that they don't know what to do, Dana.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do.
You hit the nail on the head. Our friend Tim Kennedy is talking to us via Skype, because when I heard that on video, I've never seen, and I've been around a number of politicians, I've been around presidents before, and their team knows a million steps ahead of time what they're doing. If they're not going to get out one way, they got 6,000 other ways to get out. I mean, they've rehearsed it. It didn't seem cohesive. And also, correct me if I'm wrong on this. If the president needs to move because there's a security threat, you're going to move him regardless of what he wants to do. I just, you know, I look back at what happened with Reagan and John Hinckley, and oh my gosh, you had Shattuck and Parr that were like literally picking Reagan up and shoving him, like, you know, they were trying to stuff a sausage back in the casing, shoving him into a car and heading off towards the hospital. I mean, they moved him if he couldn't or didn't want to move. To me, this fell apart at so many levels. Starting from that rooftop right there, watching the women, and we're talking to our friend Tim Kennedy. Talk to me about this a little bit, because it seemed chaotic. Them trying to move him. A lot of people are blaming women serving. I think that's a weird thing to focus on, but it seemed like it was a skill set. They weren't trained.
Yeah. There are two parts to that. So one, you're like a fart could almost blow you over, Dana.
In my mind, I'm like 250. Okay. I know, I'm like 250, 6'9", you know, come on.
You're a beautiful, small, petite woman, right? That's what you are. The president that we're talking about is almost 300 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, he's 6.5 feet tall. He's a giant man. If you cannot throw your body in front of him to take a bullet, you're on the wrong man. Yeah. So there is a size capability portion that has to be remembered, but I do 100% agree with you that this is not, you know, this chauvinistic machismo, a sexist issue of like the women are incapable of doing it. It is a training and competence issue. They were undertrained. They are not physically fit. When you see a woman that can't get her weapon in her holster around her love handle as she's wearing,
it's like Paula Blart, Mall Cop. Yeah. I'm stealing that from Kane.
She's wearing suspenders to keep her pants up. You know, like,
And that's not being mean. That's like, that's a requirement for the job. It is a requirement. I've had female details before. These women could bench you, I think, even. They are hardcore chicks. They're like built out like, you know, Rocky Balboa. And there's always exceptions to the rule, I've said, but that's why they're exceptional. But I'm also a little old school. I don't think a chick should be taking a bullet for a dude.
I mean, if they raise their hands, I have worked with women that are they are far more competent and capable in so many ways than me. I've been with them in Afghanistan. I've been with them in Iraq. I've been with them in Africa. I've been with them in Eastern Europe. And I have been flabbergasted, is not even close. I've just been beyond blown away by their capability, their competence. I'm thinking of one of them right now. Like, this young woman runs circles around me in the technology and weaponization of technology, you know, drone warfare, cybersecurity.
Yeah, they all have their talents. Everybody's got a talent. But you made a good point. I mean, he's 6'3". I mean, anybody, when he shakes your hand, well, maybe not yours, but my hand disappears in it. It's like a catcher's mitt. I'm like, there's no way I couldn't do it. And I appreciate those who want to do the job, but you got to be able to do the job. It reminds me of like Leonidas. We were talking about this and the Spartan 300, you know, every guy's got to meet the same bar, and it's not out of maliciousness. It's to serve that objective, which is greater than self.
Yeah. I mean, when you see posts from the director of the Secret Service saying, hey, we're going to focus on DEI.
She brought it up, not us.
Yeah. That's awesome. There's lots of roles and there's lots of jobs where I, you know, from equity to inclusion to like, send it.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
If you're flying a plane, if you're running into a burning building, if you're trying to protect a former president that is the Republican nominee for president, it doesn't matter. You can either do the job or you can't. You know, in the military, we have these standards from Ranger school to sniper school to special forces selection. Man, if you can pull the weight, awesome. Like, if your bones are dense enough to do it, if you are strong enough, if you are fast enough, you are lethal enough, that's fine. Because the only thing that matters is your lethality. That's it.
I want to play this. We're talking with our friend Tim Kennedy. This is audio send by three. Because I got two other things I want to ask you. One is about the private security for Trump. But the first thing, though, is, and again, I do not want to armchair quarterback these guys, because it's not hard to acquire, or it is very hard actually to acquire a target. You know, I know that much. I've done long range, and it's not easy to be like quick on the scope like that. I think that's only if you're in COD. But this guy, I mean, this video, and I think this is the one, Juan, that we slowed down. When the guy was on the glass and he was in, and clearly, you know, he's, you know, checking for threats. And then it's almost like they saw the guy, they saw or heard something, and then they looked, like, the guy looked genuinely shocked. When you saw that video, what came to your mind? I mean, you know, you know a lot more about this than the average bear. What came to your mind when you were seeing this?
Yeah, I was on a call last night with a bunch of very, very talented, far more talented snipers than me. I've been a sniper for 16 years, went to Special Operations Target Addiction School, which is the level one sniper course, Special Forces Sniper School. And, one of the guys that I was on the call with last night holds the current record for the furthest combat kill in current history. And not like some made up Ukrainian stuff at like 7 miles. I'm talking like a couple of dudes on glass,
right?
And they splashed a Taliban terrorist in Afghanistan.
Wow.
This Canadian special operations sniper. And as we're breaking down that specific portion, we all could not understand. This is not what you're doing. So you do this range card from the position that you're at, you know where your principal is, you know, the guy that you're supposed to protect. And then you have this range sector. Right, you have this left and right limit, and this is my responsibility to observe and know what's in this area. And on my range card, they've done the site survey. So they take a guy and they send him out into within probably 2,000 meters around everywhere where the person that you're trying to protect is going to be. And you identify every single line of sight. You identify every single rooftop. You identify every single window. And those are all represented. And then in some instances, you'll even categorize them. If they're such a high threat, you're going to put a physical body on top of that rooftop. That spot specifically, there is no possible, listen to me, there is no way, I'm saying this with absolute 100% certainty, that they knew that that specific spot was one of the most dangerous and deadly spots in the entire
campus that they're trying to protect. They knew that without a doubt, and they knew it before the president got there. So that sniper has this X on his map that says 151 meters from where he was, or 154 from where he is, 151 the shooter was to the president was. And he was absolutely looking at exactly where that guy was going to come up. And when he came off the rifle, it was because he was scared. He was not trained. And I think this is a byproduct of what has been happening with law enforcement for the past 10 years. They're going to jail. They're being indicted. They don't have the confidence to do their job because they think they're going to get fired. Right. So then you see this guy pop up. It's on a negative slope roof. If somebody's low crawling up there, the fact that he could get there is a different story entirely. But then he pops his head up and you see him look. He comes off his optic. He comes back down. And then the fire, and he gets off completely off his gun. And then somebody's able to splash him. That is an untrained, ill-equipped, incompetent person that is not maybe he's an amazing sniper, but his ability to do his job has been undermined. He can't do the thing that he's supposed to do, which is to kill somebody else that's trying to kill the person he's there to protect.
Last fast question for you. You said that it's time for Trump to have privatized security solutions,
yes, ma'am.
A non-government security option because of this. And because you think, I think it's a fair question whether it's accidental or malicious.
It can be if let's say you were in the seat as the director and you are looking around the person that you're supposed to be protecting, and you see the capability and or the lack of capability and the incompetence and the negligence and the ineptitude, and you're like, you're smart enough, Dana, to recognize that that is dangerous. So then as you start sliding down the scale into complicit, where you are aware that it is so dangerous, but you're still allowing it to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you're almost, you know, in some way involved.
Right.
You're in cahoots with the guy that's about to pull the trigger because you've allowed it to happen because of the inability of the people around him. He has to get trusted non-government people. It has to be augmented. Secret Service is not going to like it. But those resources should to a ground force commander that can use the dogs, the physical security, that can use the metal detectors,
make it work together. We're short on time now, but Tim Kennedy, God bless you. I appreciate your service. I appreciate your perspective on this as well, because, you know, that experienced, you know, analysis. I think that's, you know, a lot of people were looking for that, a lot of those answers on this. Thank you so much, my friend. And I appreciate you doing it on such short notice too. God bless you. Thank you. According to a March 2024 report from the Association of American Medical Colleges, the U.S. is facing a shortage of 86,000 doctors by 2036. Already, wait times to see a doctor nearly reach 4 weeks. That's a troubling trend set to worsen. And your alternative? Lengthy hours in the ER or urgent care amid a whole crowd of ill people. Yeah, no. Take control of your own health care. Order a medical emergency kit from The Wellness Company. Now, this is not, I repeat, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It's super handy. It comes with doctor-prescribed medicines for over 30 medical issues, antibiotics for infections, strep throat, I've used it, pneumonia, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. Match your symptoms to the prescription in your booklet and take the correct meds now to get well faster. There's no waiting for a doctor or a pharmacy or being around tons of sick people. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and you can order yours online in literally minutes. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So this guy in a Wawa parking lot exposed his woo-woo to some women. This 33-year-old Florida man is in trouble. He parked next to these women and had a little self-expose. Winter Haven police said that this guy, Trinell Webster, drove. It was like 7:40 p.m., parked next to these female victims sitting in their cars and decided to try to give them a show. And they called police. this guy was arrested, although they had to go and find him because he tried to speed off, but they did find him, and he is now in jail. We're short on time, but that was a great interview with Tim Kennedy, and make sure to find it on social. Third hour on the way, VP News coming up. Partners over at Kel-Tec, American-born, American-made company. George Kellgren immigrated to the United States and conceived this awesome company in Florida. And I love Kel-Tec. I love Kel-Tec because they're like-minded. I love it because they're a great American success story. And I also love it because they make really awesome firearms that are very, very innovative. And that's what Kel-Tec does. They have 300 American staff, a lot of them military veterans, and they dedicate themselves to making these very distinctive firearms. And they've been creating pistols and rifles and shotguns, accessories, and gear for years now. And they continue this mission of game-changing innovation and performance. We've been talking about this for a good year now. The Sub 2K Gen 3, that's the one they came out with last year. It's light, foldable, effective. It's an awesome, awesome firearm. Gen 3, I have the Gen 2 version. The Gen 3, it's a carbine, folds in half. And you don't have to detach your optics to fold the Gen 3 in half. And it just quickly and as easily deploys as well. You have lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open, and quality made right here in the U.S. of A. See everything Kel-Tec has to offer at KelTecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
But in America, when we resolve our difference at the battle box, you know, that's how we do it, at the battle box, not with bullets.
It's like he said it again. He's like, oh, man, I meant to say ballot box. It's a battle box. Oh, my gosh, I did it again. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour.
Just good. A cheap fake.
Yeah, just a cheap fake. Just a cheap fake. Golly, I can't even deal. Top of this third hour, and we're going to have that interview with Tim Kennedy. And that was, he had some really great insight on all of this. That'll be up on our social media channels, so we'll have all that for you as well. And I was asking the chat and Rumble, and Lorraine was telling me some of their all responses, because I'm fascinated by, I think, the opinions on this. You know, the women in executive detail, we had a big old conversation about that with Secret Service, and by and large, they think that, yeah, shorties should not be assigned to protect the tallies. And I do agree with that. I'm a little old school. I don't think, don't send me hate mail, because I'm going to print it out and roll it over with my little mini Segway that I got 5 years ago for Mother's Day. I kid you not, I'll do it. Or I'll take it and blow some holes in it when I get a chance to get back to the range. But I just don't think chicks should be taking bullets for dudes. I'm a little old school in that regard. I mean, if you want to, you know, Daenerys Targaryen it all up, go do it. You know, be you. Go do you. That's whatever. I'm just saying, though. But yeah, the shorties cannot be protecting the tallies. You know what I mean? You can't be doing that. Shorty, you can't be out there doing that. Oh, but they said that, yeah, women also are needed for knowledge of ladies stuff. And I actually think that that's a good point. That's why, you know, I'm totally fine with like women protective details for like women principals. You know what I mean? But, you know, at the same time, you watch that video as same as we all did. And y'all saw that, you know, they weren't ready, man. And Tim Kennedy said the same thing. Why is she struggling so much to holster that weapon? I mean, I don't even have to look at mine. I know, like, when I'm at the range and I'm doing drills and I'm like outdoor range, not standing there shooting at a target. I mean, when it's all about the technique, when my hand brushes back, I can feel I know my holster well enough to know exactly what I got to do. I don't I'm struggling. I don't know if it was just her jet. I don't know what it was, but she was struggling. She looked back and she was struggling there for a part. And she had to wait for a little after he got in before she could like actually check. And then, it should not be that difficult. So there's a lot of questions. All right, there's I want to touch on, because there's so much, guys. We got that classified documents case that's been dismissed, although there are going to be appeals for that. Coming up, we're going to talk to my friend Kurt Schlichter about that. Also, in the VP news, you have the people at the RNC, because Trump is announcing VP today. The people at the RNC, it is Burgum, Rubio, Vance, Youngkin are all there. That's, I think, you're going to be your final lineup for all this. Now, I also think that he could be doing a fake out. I don't know. Some people were saying that extra security was approved for Vance after the attempted assassination on President Trump. I don't know. We'll see. I'm a little nervous about the idea of Vance because anybody that DeWine picks, I think, to be in his spot is going to be more moderate than Vance's record is. And I'm very concerned about that with an already weak Senate. So that's a whole other thing. I think the smartest pick of those guys for him would be Youngkin, because Youngkin is going to tie up all the other loose ends. How? Youngkin is going to tie up all of the other Republican but non-MAGA voters. And then after everything that transpired over the weekend, that's a done deal, guys. That's on lock. You get Youngkin in there, what are the other people going to, what the people that are not, again, that are Republican but like not hardcore MAGA, they're not the people who wear the Trump hats, but they're Republican. They don't, it's not that they dislike Trump. They just don't get into it that much. Does that make sense? They are, I think, going to feel like, oh, well, there's, okay, we get it. Yeah, we know the Youngkin guy because education and all this stuff. Keep in mind, Youngkin did pull in a lot of independents with the moves that he made via education and taxes. So I think that that's his best play. I think that's his best play. It really is. So we'll see. But can I just share one more thing? Because Lorraine shared with me Jules from the chat in Rumble. This is actually one of the most hysterical takes I've ever read on this. We were talking about female protection and how the shorties can't protect the tallies. Jules says, hobbits are for quests, not protection. So all right, that's the show, everybody. Bye. We're done. That's true. Hobbits, they're for quests, not protection. That should be a t-shirt, I think. All right, so we got the VP stuff happening. There's a lot of stuff. That case we're going to talk to Kurt Schlichter about. And we've been covering all of the reactions to this. One of the things that I need to touch on that we haven't yet, because, you know, you still have the DC, the DNC coming up, the Replace Biden campaign. I want to pull up for you, I'm doing it now, this piece from NBC. Now, if you get the prep, you I think you have this piece. Or if you get the Substack, you have this piece from last night. That I sent out. So this piece is over at NBC, gets into Democrats. The headline is Democrats fret about the political fallout from the Trump rally shooting, right? So they're freaking out about all this. And in the piece, it gets into this Replace Biden movement that we've seen, right, that they've been, you know, pushing to get, that they've been pushing for. It gets into this, you know, Replace Biden movement. And in this, and I'm pulling up this particular part now, in this piece, they talk about how they feel like it's just pretty much done at this point. One Democrat insider told NBC, quote, "We are so beyond effed," said, noting that the image of Trump thrusting his fist in the air with blood dramatically smeared across his face will be indelible. "The presidential contest ended last night," said a veteran Democratic consultant who spoke on the condition of anonymity. "Now it's time to focus on keeping the Senate and trying to pick up the House." They said that the only positive thing to come out of last night for Democrats is we are no longer talking about Joe Biden's age today, end quote. What are they going to do now? It's anything that they do now is an adjacent move. You're just moving to a different square, but you're not advancing forward. And in fact, you may be moving yourself backwards by trying to switch out your nominee. So the best they can do at this point is the House and Senate. And I think they know this. But I think, honestly, I really do feel like that movement has ended. That movement has ended. There's no way. So that to me is fascinating. The whole Replace Biden movement. It's done, and he's going to feel like he's won, but it's a very fair victory because he hasn't won. It's that they're going to lose regardless. And he's been desperately trying to rebrand, trying to call for unity, which nobody believes. He actually believes in unity. So two other developments that are related to the shooting that took the attempted assassination. The first, this is going to blow your mind, and I'm going to need you to hold on to something. It's going to send your blood pressure through the roof. Speaking of roofs, ABC, shooter's rooftop was law enforcement staging area.
What?
So, you know, the building we've been talking about, this guy, this came out literally 9 minutes ago. Right after we got off air with Tim Kennedy, this story from ABC came out. So the killer, the roof that he got on top of and bear crawled across was the staging area for the local police tactical team doing overwatch of the crowd, per ABC. It was their staging area. Sources previously told ABC that the building had been swept. Like with a broom? I feel like this is a Hillary Clinton thing. How he gained access without a ladder, that because he didn't use a ladder. He got up there without a ladder somehow. With a whole rifle. I don't know. But it was a staging area for law enforcement. And on top of it, remember how we were talking about how the... Now, I'm waiting for more confirmation of this. I've seen it in a couple of places. Some people were questioning the woman in... she's not the woman on stage with Trump. She's a second woman who comes in after Trump gets to the SUV. And apparently they were saying she's from the DEA, not Secret Service. So that would explain her, and that would explain her difficulty. I think if you don't have that training in protection, yeah, that's quite different.
I think she was the one that couldn't holster her weapon.
Yeah, she was the one who couldn't holster her gun that had suspenders on. So I am literally made of questions right now. I don't even know. So we got the staging area. That's the rooftop that the guy got on. And then this lady was from DEA. Oh boy, guys, there are some questions. There are questions. And I feel too, there was the, and I'm pulling this one. Where's this at? Forget. I've got so much stuff on our. So there was a Susan Crabtree who writes for Real Clear Politics. She is the White House and national political correspondent. She says that her Secret Service sources tell her that resources were diverted to Jill Biden's event away from Trump's event because they followed agency protocol applying to Trump as a former president. So they had supplemental agents from different field offices that are not Trump's regular detail providing security at the rally, because they said that the Trump's detail has been overworked and they had only two counter snipers. So somebody, I don't know who, and they were both in Pittsburgh. Jill Biden was in Pittsburgh and Trump was, you know, not far. And I don't know where that decision comes into to allocate that. Now, the chief of communications for the Secret Service, they insist that they did not divert resources and that they said their protection models don't work that way. But that's the Secret Service spokesperson. And I think that we've seen in the past 6 years that there you have justification not to trust a single outfit when they tell you stuff. I mean, how many of these people were the signatories to the laptop is Russian disinformation? I mean, you can't do this kind of stuff and then issue a statement and act like that's, you know, gold standard. Stop it. There are a lot of people that are contradicting that defense from the communications chief from Secret Service. So the House Oversight, as I told you last hour, they've initiated an investigation into this. And I think that these are all questions, very legitimate questions to come up in all this, right? I mean, now also coming up, the classified document case. So the classified document case, that's been dismissed. Lorraine has a piece about this, and we'll talk about it coming up, because she was kind of predicting that this was going to happen anyway. And Judge Cannon's response was that the special prosecutor was unconstitutionally appointed. That was her statement on this and the justification for the dismissal. So we're going to get into all of that as well. We got a ton of stuff to touch on as we move. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Gold Co. Because who knows what's going to happen? I mean, good grief. You've seen some of the economic policies coming out of this administration. Heaven forbid they get elected. Because see, with Gold Co., you're going to need to protect your savings. You're going to need to protect everything you've saved over your life, your retirement, all of it. I mean, we live in pretty unprecedented times. So diversify and protect your savings with the top-rated company, and that's Gold Co. And you can visit danalikesgold.com. Learn how you can get started today, and you'll also get a complimentary wealth protection kit that will arm you with the facts that you need about precious metals. Join thousands of people who've called Gold Co. the number one gold-rated company, and you can diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver, thousands of five-star reviews, seven-time Inc. 5000 winner, perfect rating for Better Business Bureau. They've helped people like you and me place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver, and they have a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers to explain to you how all of this works, right? How the gold IRAs work. And they want to make it easy for you not just to get the benefit of owning, obviously, physical gold or silver, but to really understand the whole economy of it as well. And it's a very important part of your overall retirement savings strategy. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Learn how to get started today. And you'll also get a complimentary wealth protection kit that will arm you with the facts about precious metals. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Postage is going up again. Do people, when's the last time you bought stamps? I bought stamps for Christmas cards I didn't send out because I'm epic at doing that. I will literally get some and then I'll send out like two to our parents. And then my mind reads that as she sent those out.
I still have forever stamps. Don't you like,
what
I bought
is that?
The, remember the stamps you buy that were like, I don't know, 29 cents or 42 cents.
When
or whatever
was that?
Like not too long ago. And no. I bought a whole book of these forever stamps. So can I use forever stamps?
I don't know. I'm not the postal people.
Oh man.
I don't, but they said that the cost of a stamp is going up for the second time this year, 5 cents, first class postage to 73 cents. Then the news report goes, you probably didn't notice because nobody sends mail. I mean, unless just it's like packages, you know, like magazines and packages. That's like pretty much it. Like, do people send letters? And you know, because they email, they have like direct communication. I don't know. But I think like prescription drugs and purchases, online purchases, you know, that's going to, but stamps, or they just like run it through the, you know, I don't know. So it's going up to 73 cents. For that, I know, right? We should get into the stamp business away from the government. An axe-wielding woman torches cars in a violent Hollywood Hills rampage. Goodness. It happened around 10:30 a.m. She set, apparently, a Toyota Prius was being set on fire, and then it blew up, and then the fire went to a Jeep Cherokee, and then this female suspect ran into an apartment complex where she attacked another woman with an axe, and then she threatened to chop up other people with said axe. LAPD responded, and I think the firefighters responded. They extinguished the flames, and they did not release the identity of the crazy lady who was running around with an axe, but sounds like a horror film. You still have about 300,000 people without power a week after Hurricane Beryl ripped through Texas. And Governor Abbott has demanded that Houston's main electricity supplier explain how it's going to improve its hurricane preparation plans. Yeah, you think? So they said it's like 288,000 energy customers still in the dark as of Monday morning, according to poweroutage.us. Many don't even have air conditioning. Houston is super humid and it's super hot. It's like 93 degrees. I don't even know what the humidity is there. 111,000, something like that. Yeah. CenterPoint Energy, the main supplier, says it's reconnected almost 2 million, about 90%. But you still have 288,000 that don't have it, and that's AC. That's insane. So now they're being looked at, and the executive office, governor's office in Texas is saying they need to pony up some answers here. Going back to this, because there's some others that we didn't get. Apparently, an Oxford brewery, this is in Britain, it's the Guardian, they are helping reduce recidivism by training people who are leaving jail to brew beer. It is a huge social movement that is apparently helping to solve their recidivism crisis, because ex-cons are learning new skills and they're readjusting and they're actually doing something that they're interested in. And they said that they're actually really successful at it. And some of the people who have left, who have like married, started families, all this stuff, they're helping other people who are leaving, and it gives them a structure that they can ease into when they're trying to reintegrate with society. It's a huge piece over at The Guardian, and they discuss how they've said that since they've been doing this, Of the people who have participated in this program, less than 6% have reoffended. And the equivalent national average for reoffenses is like 50%. So there's something to it. Stick with us. Kurt Schlichter joins us next. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach, Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Are you sorry? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. We just got off the phone with the former president, and he said this: I am thrilled that a judge had the courage and wisdom to do this. This has big, big implications, not just for this case, but for other cases. The special counsel worked with everyone to try to take me down. This is a big, big deal. It only makes this convention more positive. This will be an amazing week.
So right before we went to air, we got the breaking news that that case, the Mar-a-Lago classified docs case, that's been dismissed. Wow. I mean, bulletproof. Right. You know, I mean, really. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this third hour, joining us because I got questions on this. And obviously, I think we're going to hit what happened on Saturday, too. My excellent friend, best-selling author, commentator, all-around badass, Kurt Schlichter, attorney. He's awesome. He's got a supermodel wife. He joins us now via Skype, and he's also kind of a Houstonian now as well. I hope that I hope that you're all right down there in Houston. Good to see you, my friend. Thank you for joining us. Did this surprise you? Did this case being dismissed? There seemed to be some people that were anticipating this might happen, and it was all predicated apparently on whether or not this Jack Smith was actually legitimately appointed.
Yeah, Dana, thanks for having me. I'm not surprised it was dismissed. This is a legitimate legal issue, and there are good arguments on both sides. It is not a complete slam dunk, but Justice Thomas wrote about it in a concurrence. It's basically, is Jack Smith appropriately appointed under the Constitution? And, from my review of Judge Cannon's analysis, she makes a pretty persuasive case that it isn't. Now, you are not insane if you have a different view of it, okay? It's not one of those crazy ones. The crazy Twitter lawyer, and let me tell people, the only lawyer you should listen to on Twitter is me or a lawyer I have approved personally.
He's right, and though. He's right.
I don't get these things wrong. I don't tell you what I want to hear. I tell you based on my research and my experience actually trying cases, which a lot of these commentators don't have. If you're a law professor, there's a reason you're not driving a late model BMW, okay? And it isn't because you're super talented.
I love it. I love it. See, this is why we love Kurt Schlichter.
This was a real possibility. I thought it would probably happen. It's going to go up to the 11th Circuit. It'll go to the Supreme Court. And we will see what happens. It's a legitimate issue. Look, you can have a different view on it. You can think, well, they're going to make the argument, it's not a great argument for reasons X, Y, Z. There's some authorizing statutes that I think apply. But, you know, the fact that Judge Cannon didn't dismiss this theory out of hand, it's a ridiculous theory. She should never consider it. Okay, that's not in the cards. She's going to consider it, and she may very well go for it. And in this case, she did.
Yeah, she did. We're talking with our good friend Kurt Schlichter. And you mentioned that because they're going to appeal this. So then it goes to what happens after this? It goes to the 11th Circuit and then
11th Circuit. The 11th Circuit will look at it. Three judges will review it. There may be what's called an en banc where the whole 11th Circuit, or in the case of a giant circuit like the Ninth Circuit, just a portion of them, like 5, 10, 12 judges, will look at it and review what the original panel did. And then the Supreme Court can decide whether or not to take it. I think the Supreme Court would. I think this is the appointments of special prosecutors is a classic Supreme Court kind of issue. And they, remember, they have discretion in almost all cases to take cases. And, you know, the bad Twitter lawyers, well, they're never going to take this ballot case. They'll never take the immunity case. Of course they will. I mean, of course they're going to take it. What are you, crazy?
Yeah.
It's just crazy talk.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't grow up with a mom who was a judge.
See, and that's why. Well, and a lawyer who works as hard as you. We're talking with our good friend Kurt Schlichter on this case being dismissed. And this, I mean, because this, she did. So Walt Nauta, she did toss out his claim. Yeah. We had this on our chapter and verse. Lorraine had covered this, a vindictive prosecution, because he was saying that the DOJ was only going after him because he invoked like his Fifth Amendment rights. And she tossed that out. I mean, it's not like I bring that up because it's not like people can, at least in my perspective, they can claim that she's being partial to him. Right.
Yeah. Look, vindictive prosecution cases. And I think I have gotten more with vindictive prosecution. It's a very hard argument to make. And I'm not surprised when the judge throws it out.
Yeah.
That's not crazy. You know, we see a lot of things and they don't surprise me. The Alec Baldwin thing. A lot of people were stunned that that case got thrown out. When I heard all the facts, because enough's been going on where Alec Baldwin's manslaughter case is like on the back page of the, you know, entertainment section, you know, under the handicap comic. That wasn't crazy when she looked at it. You're like, oh, okay, I see what happened.
Right.
I don't have to agree or disagree.
Yeah, the state hid evidence. You can't hide evidence I don't know why. It seems like when you have, like, even in like the some of the stuff with Trump, like if they wanted to make a good faith argument, just be straightforward about it. Why do you have to do all this subterfuge? Because then you just ruin your own efforts.
Well, look, I think Jack Smith is a bad lawyer. He doesn't think strategically. When I get a case, I fight the case all the way to the end in my mind in the first half hour. I know where it's going to go. And I will tell my clients, here's how this case is going to go. And then it goes that way because I've done it enough. And I think ahead. But there are a lot of lawyers who don't think about cases.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable to me.
Yeah. I want to switch gears here. We're talking with our good friend Kurt Schlichter. I want to ask you, this story came out just a little bit ago. The rooftop, looking at the attempted assassination on former President Trump, the rooftop that this killer got on top of, and this is per ABC, was apparently the rooftop of the building that was used for the local law enforcement's tactical staging area where they were keeping watch over the crowd, which then brings it back to how in the world did this guy get on the rooftop, Kurt, of the staging, the law enforcement staging area?
I have no idea.
And he didn't use the ladder.
The whole thing is mind-boggling. Look, I'm not a personal security guy. I'm just a regular Army colonel. But you dominate the high ground. You've got somebody standing there with a rifle. Just in case. And normally, so that bad guy goes, oh, there's a guy with a gun up there. I'll go find something else. It's unbelievable to me that this thing was not protected. And here, you know, watching the press conference, the first press conference, the first night. First of all, I'm stunned that the Secret Service didn't bother to show up. We haven't seen the head of the Secret Service. But here's the question I'd like to have. There are two questions. Who was in charge at the scene? What is the name of the person who is in command? And what is the name of the person in command of the investigation?
Yeah.
And you don't have one. Well, you know, the local guys were supposed to do this. I don't want to hear it. I'm a colonel. You're in charge, Captain. I don't talk to your squad leader. I talk to you, and you damn well better have the answer. And then for this investigation, you got the FBI going, well, you know, we're going to take this part, and these guys are going to take another part. Who do I talk to? What's the guy who answers the question? Who is in command? And they don't have a chain of command. And when you don't have a chain of command, you have screw-ups, and you have innocent people getting killed trying to keep their family from being murdered. And you have, my God, 1 inch to the right, Dana. Can you imagine the convulsions this country would be going through? 1 inch to the right.
And even with, thank heavens, I mean, that's divine intervention. And thankfully, he's okay. But nobody burned anything down. Nobody burned anything down. Kurt, you didn't see entire towns in flames. You haven't seen any of, you know, violent protests, anything like that, which obviously reversed the ideologies. This would be an entirely different story.
I think it would. But, you know, we are patriots. We're American citizens. We love our country. And we win at the battle box.
Yeah, the battle box. So what's that? Wait a minute. Let me stop. I mean, you serve in the military. Is that like a special thing that y'all have? Or is that like something we can have too? Is it like box fights? Like, what is it? Like, I don't even know.
I don't know. It sounds totally cool, though.
I would love that. I mean, battle it out in a box. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds awesome. I mean, for once, Joe Biden stumbled onto something I'm interested in.
I know. Yeah. I thought it was like, wait a minute. And he said it twice. I loved his expression. He's like, yeah, the battle box. And then it's like, he realized he said it wrong, and he goes, you know, the battle box. Oh, my God. He tried to correct it, but it didn't happen. It's just, it's so bad. It's so bad.
You know, when Joe Biden does a speech or an event, it reminds me of that British guy that Lisa Simpson was dating when he introduced his Homer to his parents.
Yes.
He goes, that wasn't that bad. That wasn't terrible.
I remember that. I've not even thought of that. Well, at least nobody's talking about Biden's age anymore. I feel like they've all given up now. They've all given up. Now they're just like, oh my gosh, we just got to hold up. Because I think Trump won the election Saturday, and his VP announcement comes today. And it looks like Rubio's out, Burgum's out. So it looks like Vance and Youngkin. I'm saying that Youngkin needs to be the pick because it elevates Sears. Youngkin brings in all of the Republican non-MAGA voters and a sweater vest, although they're going to need, as Kane noted, somebody taller than Paula Blart to protect him. That seems like the way to go. Is that what you're thinking too?
Yeah, I am. Again, I'm a strategic thinker. I know J.D. Vance. I love J.D. Vance. I'm an Ohioan.
Yeah.
He's an incredible guy, and I would love him to be vice president. But to be vice president, you have to win the presidency. I think Glenn Youngkin brings people to the table. There's no one out there who says, well, I was unsure of Trump, but now he picked Vance. I'm all in. There's nobody like that. Also, you put a Senate seat kind of in play in Ohio. Yeah.
And you'll get a super moderate replacement from DeWine. DeWine will have a super moderate replacement until they have an election.
Maybe Ron Portman's kid.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Good night. No.
Yeah. No. Look, again, I love J.D. Vance, and J.D. Vance is not an actively bad pick. Right. But I think you want to maximize your effects. And I think the way to do that is Glenn Youngkin, especially now when Trump is making a pivot to be, you know, unifier Trump, according to Selena Zito's amazing report. And our friend Selena was only 4 feet from the president.
I saw. She was behind a speaker when it all happened.
Yeah. And she, you know, we talk bad about a lot of journalists. If a lot of journalists would channel Selena Zito instead of the hacks on MSNBC, we would be a much better educated country.
I completely agree with you. My good friend Kurt Schlichter, I so appreciate your perspective on this. So we're going to watch this dismissal of this case and see where it goes, watch the appeals, and we'll see who's going to be the VP pick today and see if Kurt and I are right. So I'm glad that y'all are okay, because you're not. Are you in Houston right now? I know you're like everywhere.
I'm in Houston. My power's on after 6 days.
Oh.
I got a lot of critique and disaster response. Communication's key, and we weren't getting it. I did that for 23 years in California. I've been through every disaster, Dana, except a plague of frogs.
True. Yeah.
And I mean, you're commanding soldiers.
Yes, that's true. Wow. Oh, well, I'm glad you got your power back. I'm glad you all are okay. We will talk again soon. Kurt Schlichter, God bless you. I appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of our broadcast. And of course, we do that because of our awesome partners that help bring you free radio. And one of those, they're kind of new. I can't really say new now to the show anymore, but they're kind of new. They're new to the program. And I always have this conversation with people who are like, oh, I will never go into a gun-free zone. I won't ever do that. And that's fine. And that's, I think that's totally great if people want to do that. I myself always, you know, I'm always strapped. But there are times when, you know, you have to go by nature of work or something else into places where you're disallowed from carry. I have a very good friend that lives and works in D.C. And, you know, this is a life that she lives. And she actually went out and she was looking at Byrna guns. Now, Byrna is a company that offers another option for self-defense. It's like a non-firearm firearm. And there's no waiting period, no background checks. It's legal in all 50 states. They've sold like hundreds of thousands of these things. It's great for people who are barred really from like being able to, you know, carry because the gun-free zone areas and all of that. Now, the most popular model is the Byrna SD. This is their best-selling option. It's one that law enforcement is getting into so that they can diversify their defense options as well. It's the SD shoots a chemical irritant projectile that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Now, if you compare this to just like your average stun gun, you got, you know, like one or two shots with that. With the Byrna SD, you have a 7-round capacity. So you have seven chances as opposed to like one or two. And that's, I like that, increasing the odds in your favor and giving you a more, you know, giving you a diverse slate of defensive options when you're barred from your full slate of options. It's a non-firearm firearm, and it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. To learn more about the Byrna gun, visit BYRNAByrna.com/Dana. Learn all about the different models, the different projectiles, the accessories, and you can get 10% off your purchase. Check out these options at Byrna.com/Dana.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So tonight, I'm asking every American to recommit to make America what to think about.
He almost said it, dude. He was almost like, make America great. Oh, think about it. Kane is over here just laughing his head off. He's like, he almost said it. Can I have it one more time? Will you hit me one more time? I'm sorry. Hit me one more time with it. It's too funny.
Yes.
So tonight, I'm asking every American to recommit to make America so make America what to think about. What's made?
I wonder if someone's like, is he going to be like Ron Burgundy? Is he just going to read whatever's in there? Right. He almost did it. You could see the WTF in his face. Right. He's like, think about it. Think about what? Make America the, think about it? Like what?
He spent so much time, you know, demonizing MAGA, he almost accidentally said it.
Dude, he almost went MAGA. He almost went extremist. Is Biden MAGA? Oh my gosh. That and Battle Box, those were the two things that stuck out to me when he was giving his Oval Office address, which by the way was garbage. I mean, he immediately had to do like a both sides about it. There's no both sides. So the VP pick is coming today. What time is it coming? 3:30 Central, 4:30 Eastern.
4:30 Eastern.
And you know, we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. Watch Chapter and Verse over at Substack. Go and subscribe if you haven't already, because we got all that stuff for you today in Stupidity King.
All right. It is our president of the United States. Gives me no pleasure to point out his stupidity.
It doesn't?
Okay. I was lying. This is Cut 11. Juan, go ahead and play it.
To stay in the race.
No, unless they came back and said, there's no way you can win.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Me.
Yeah, you.
No one's saying that.
What?
No poll says that.
What? Except
what?
All of them.
No one says that. What is that?
The creepy whisper.
Why does he do that?
When he lies and whispers at the same time, that's when it's the creepiest.
The VP pick is coming today. We'll have it tomorrow. Have a great night. Like and subscribe, folks. Find us at YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, everywhere else. Have a great night. Back tomorrow.